Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the man who has received so much recognition for his work on behalf of small business that he had to get a bigger mantle for his awards and a wider door for his head.
You have reached the transmitting signal for the big giant head. All big giant circuits are busy right now. Please stay on the line.
Mr. Humble, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. That's right, Mr. Humble. Right here at your service. My pleasure to continue to be with you. As always, you're going to be glad you're hanging out with me because we got Howard B.R. back on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, Howard was, he was a senior executive with Starbucks when they had 28 stores. And when he left the company, he was the president of Starbucks, and they had probably 28,000 stores. I'll have to ask him about that. But he's now working, he's now a small business owner, just like you and me, taking his own story to the marketplace, just like you and I do every day. And he's written a book that I'm very fond of. It's Not About the Coffee. Howard Behar, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Great to be here.
It's good to have you back. How many stores did Starbucks have when you left?
About 12,000-13,000.
Yeah. Well, I was only over,
estimated
just a little bit. Well, I will tell you this. I never go. The biggest problem that I have with Starbucks is there's always a line when I try to go buy coffee.
I know. Don't you just hate that?
I hate it because I actually, as I've said many times before, my favorite is the Frappuccino. Unfortunately, I don't even want to know how many calories are in the Frappuccino. One of the worst days of my life, Howard, will be when I find that out, when I find out how many calories they are. they're in those darn things. But anyway, Howard, one of the things you've been, as you look back on your career, as you think about the meaning of our time on this planet and our time in the marketplace and as we serve others, when you look back on what's really important that folks like you and me who've got a little bit of gray hair, what do you think we should be focusing on right now? What do you think?
Well, you know, I think we got to start thinking about how do we give back? How do we help all those young people that are out there that have hopes and dreams and are thinking about being entrepreneurs and, you know, how do we kind of grease the skids, so to speak, for them? And particularly in today's world where, you know, we're all so concerned about the economy, about the European economy,
yep,
and making sure that they still have hope about, you know, the things that they want to do.
Well, I'll tell you, you're right about that, Howard, because we're in a capital-constrained world, as my friend Bruce Piasecki says. He says we're in a carbon and capital-constrained world, but for our purposes right now, we are in a capital-constrained world. And these are tough times for startups, aren't they?
They absolutely are. The bankers are all afraid to loan any money. The government continually gets in the way and not only adds costs, but, you know, adds processes that just get in the way of starting a small business. And so, you know, even with all of that, there are still ways to open businesses and to be successful.
Well, so talk to us about that. How you laid a gauntlet down. You threw a gauntlet down in front of us, and you said a challenge down in front of us, and you said, you know, we should help these young people. What would if you could be specific about that? What would you do?
Well, sure. You know, we've got a lot of young people going to school, a lot of young people going to business school, and one of the things that I have tried to do is visit campuses and work with these students. And what they want most is mentorship.
You're not talking about MBA program. You're talking about entrepreneurial curriculum in the high schools and colleges.
Yeah, absolutely.
It doesn't
make any difference. Any chance you have to spend time with young people, and particularly the ones that are interested, that have dreams of opening their own business someday, is to go spend time with them.
Well, I'll tell you something else about those guys. You also, these days, you know, when you and I were coming up, Howard, when we were coming out of school, we didn't know anything. You know, everything we learned, everything we know today, we learned from somebody else as we were coming up. These young people, they come to the marketplace with them, with capability, with skills.
And not only
go and talk to them, because there's some wisdom we can bring to them. We can be their Merlin coming at them from the future. But we need to listen to them, too, a little bit.
Oh, we learn. The greatest thing about it is that we learn from them when we're teaching them.
And, yeah.
You know, I've spent the last 4 years, I've taken two groups of six, actually they're entrepreneur students out of the University of Washington, and work with those groups. And all of them are thinking about opening their own business.
Yeah.
And, you know, you talk about their fears, you talk about their concerns. You talk about their dreams and what they want to do, and the opportunity to give them encouragement and to be with them. There's nothing like it. I call it the fountain of youth. Every time I do it, it's amazing how much energy I have.
How much younger you feel afterwards, right? Hold on to that thought. Howard Behar, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest, our good friend, a great member of our Brain Trust, former president of Starbucks Coffee North America. He and I will be right back. Stay with us.
So fairy. Cross the Mersey, 'cause this land's the place I love.
Joe Cocker bringing us back, ladies and gentlemen. Mad Dog Englishman. Like the title of one of his albums. Quick break, just out of a quick break, and we're visiting with our good friend Howard Behar. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm your host. I'm glad you're here. And the book Howard wrote is called "It's Not About the Coffee." He is the former president of Starbucks Coffee North America and Starbucks Coffee International. And the book is now available wherever books are sold. Right, Howard?
That's right.
Tell us, is there a website for it?
There is, howardbehar.com, www.howardbehar.com.
BEHAR.com, and are you blogging there? What are you doing there?
I haven't done much blogging. I've started a little Twitter, but, you know what I found? I want to touch people.
Yeah.
You know, and it's more important for me to have that personal contact than, you know, than trying to promote my book or anything on a blog. But, you know...
Now
I do some Twitter. And...
You know, Bob, Howard, you were talking earlier about reaching out and helping the young people. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you could do? I mean, you've been around a while. You've been to town, and you've had a long career in the marketplace. Is that something that you could help the young people with? That people our age can help the young people with by talking to them about the original social media, which is face to face.
Yeah, absolutely. They do not understand it. It's difficult for many of them. They want to avoid that, being in the same room and touching. It seems like, look, everything changes. So I don't want to say that the Internet is bad. It's not. It's great, and it's a fantastic tool.
But it's not the original. It's not the original tool, though, is it? It's the latest tool.
It's the
original tool is you and me looking each other in the eye, and showing you my open hand, and doing business.
That's right. It's nothing like being able to look into somebody's eyes and seeing what's there, and you know that kind of is a lost art today. But
when you talk to them about these things, when you talk to young people about what we just said, does it resonate with them, or are they resistant?
No, absolutely. I think there's starting to be a little recognition among a lot of them that. That they've got to be able to develop the relationships that count. At the end of the day, it's those relationships that you can come to depend on when you're trying to build your business.
And you ever know a guy named Dave Longaberger, the Longaberger Basket Company?
I remember the name.
This guy took 21 years to graduate from high school, learning disability. He stuttered, but he built this huge company that sells nothing but baskets. And he said before he died, your success in life will ultimately depend upon the relationships that you build.
Well, that's it, right? There's nothing more than that.
Yeah.
You know, it's the relationships you build along the way.
And I built, virtual relationships. You and I have never met, and yet we have a working relationship. So that's it's not that that can't happen, but the virtual, meaning never hearing the voice, never seeing the face, I think that's a different kind of a virtual relationship, don't you?
I do. You know, it has opportunities with it. So, you know, the question is how do you get that within this media? How do you make that happen within this media? And, you know, the good thing about it is it's built a resurgence of entrepreneurialism in the country, because all these young people, I mean, there's 10-year-olds starting businesses on the Internet.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine?
It's really leveled the playing field, hasn't it?
Yeah, it really has. And so you don't have to have a lot of money to do it. You know, when I grew up, when you grew up, I grew up in the retail business. I wanted to open a store.
Me too.
It cost some money.
Yeah.
You know, and you had to save for a while before you could do it. And then you had to go borrow a bunch to open up a store. And then you had to be there, you know, 24 hours.
So that's the thing that they have to their advantage.
Yeah.
But there's still some things that they need to know about human beings, about the marketplace, that you can teach them, Howard. What are you talking to them about?
Well, I'm talking about just that, just those kinds of things. Those are the things they want to know. You know, the questions that they all have is, how do they deal with people in their organization? How do they deal when there's conflict? How do you deal when there's somebody that's not performing and still keep that person whole?
Are they having difficulty with conflict?
Yes.
Dealing with conflict?
Difficulty with
You're
conflict.
The second person this hour to say that.
Yeah. They're absolutely having difficulty with conflict. They don't know how to deal with it. You know, that's one of the things that the Internet doesn't allow them to do, is to practice the human skills that they're going to
need. Seeing the body language and understanding how people behave when they're agitated, when they're not happy with something.
Right. And then how do you develop people? How do you help people to increase their performance, to be more productive?
Yeah.
And that got to be done face to face. It's just not something that
you're talking about. You're talking
Internet.
About demanding excellence of them.
That's right.
Yeah. Is it difficult to do that with the younger generations?
Well, they listen. They want to know. I think the struggle that they're having is how do they influence, right? When they are struggling with somebody that say on their team or that they're working with, how do they influence it in a positive way?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the struggles are. They just are not getting the human skills.
Because at some point in time, somebody has to be, I don't want to say the bad guy, but somebody has to make a decision and say, this is what has to be done.
Yeah, exactly. And so those are the things that they're going to have to figure out. And they're going to have to
be interesting to see how that rolls around. It's Tintail, folks. We're going to take a quick break. Howard Behar is our guest. His book is called It's Not About the Coffee: Leading Through the Hard Times, Lessons on Putting People First from a Life at Starbucks. Check it out wherever books are sold. HowardBehar.com also. Quick break. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you get a chance. I hope you use it to your advantage. Lots of stuff there that will help you with your small business. And if you're on Twitter, you want to follow me there, I'm at Jim Blasingame. Howard Behar is our guest. Howard, what's your Twitter handle there?
Howard Behar.
All right. So Twitter.com/@ Howard Behar, folks. So check that out. Behar. You're going to have millions of new people following you after today. Howard's book is called It's Not About the Coffee. He, as you know, is former president of all the realm that Starbucks surveyed for a number of years. He was in charge of that operation. Howard, you're traveling around the world right now.
Right.
Talking to business leaders and young entrepreneurs all over the world. Give us a perspective of what you're seeing in that strata of the marketplace, the entrepreneurial strata. Are you hopeful as you talk to these folks out there in different parts of the world? Are you hopeful about the future of entrepreneurship in America? I mean, on planet Earth?
I am hopeful about it. I see it everywhere. I just got back from Singapore. and I talked to a group of 30 entrepreneurs and as well as a group of about 500 educators in Singapore. And, I mean, the focus is on entrepreneurship, on building organizations and building businesses. And, you know, the one thing that that you see, and particularly in Asia, is there's just an energy and a passion and a drive to get things done. And the governments are, they're not all perfect governments, but they are working with entrepreneurs trying to build businesses. And
are you concerned, as you return home then, having been in Asia, do you feel that what's going on in the United States is competitive with that?
I think that our people are. I think our young people have a lot of energy and passion. I worry about our governments.
Yeah.
And they're getting in the way.
Our government is out of sync with entrepreneurship in America, isn't it?
Yeah, well, they don't like it. You know, they talk about, well, you know, small business, you know, is the foundation.
You know why they don't like it, don't you? You know the reason they don't like it? Because we don't have a lobbying organization whose chain they can jerk.
Well, I think there's another thing, too. We don't have business people in our legislators.
Yeah.
In our state legislators.
We don't have enough people running the government who've made a payroll, have we?
No, they're not there. And so they don't understand it, and they don't really care about it. It doesn't turn them on. And you need people that understand it from the ground up. Otherwise, you know, it's like having the human resource department run sales. They're great people.
Yeah.
But they don't have any skills or even any knowledge, nor do they care.
There's a great story. George McGovern was one of the great liberal lions of the 20th century in Congress, Senator McGovern from Minnesota. And he retired from, as you probably know this story, Howard, he retired from Congress, moved to New England, and opened up a bed and breakfast.
Right.
Became a small business owner. And he later said, if I had known how hard it was to do what I'm doing now when I was in Congress, I would have voted differently.
Well, there it is.
That's exactly right. There's no greater statement. Yeah, that's exactly right. And so what are we going to? What about? So you're saying that foreign governments, other governments around the world, are starting to get the message about entrepreneurship and the value of it, and at a time when we're losing that.
Yeah, particularly in Asia. I don't feel the same way about Europe.
Europe is different, right?
Yeah, I was just in Spain giving a speech. And, I mean, they are so down in the mouth, and
yeah,
you can understand why. But,
right,
you know, the rules and regulations, the issues with the labor force and everything, I mean, they're just strangling. In Asia, they're exactly the opposite. I was just in Singapore. What do you think the highest tax rate is in Singapore?
What?
20%.
Wow.
Now, then they have retirement, but they don't call it a tax like we do. We call it a tax. They say this is your money, so they put a lot of money away.
Mm-hmm.
They put about 7.5%. The company puts about 7.5% away. The individual puts away about 22%. They save that money. They use that money to buy homes, but it's not a tax, right? It's their money, but there's no capital gains tax. There's a 7%, they call it a VAT, but it's really a sales tax.
Right. National sales tax.
Yeah, national sales tax.
Right.
It's a city state. And that's it. That's all. That's all
well,
there is.
And then
they set up the rules of the game.
And therein lies the future of competition, of competitiveness on planet Earth. And so, Howard, thank you for bringing us this report. Thank you for your perspectives. Thank you for your long service to our marketplace. And also thank you for the book, It's Not About the Coffee, by Howard Behar. Howard, thanks for being here. Good job
today. Thanks,
Jim. We'll see you next time. Howard Behar, ladies and gentlemen, formerly with the Starbucks organization. He'll be back another day, I promise. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.